Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast of Real Recovery. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help. Hello, everybody, and happy Mother's Day. Another award-winning episode is underway, and tonight we're using nonviolent resistance.
Good, Bill.
Thank you, George. Welcome to Real Recovery. This is Bill Arnold with George Fraser, and we have got an amazing, amazing show tonight, George.
Very excited about it, Bill.
We've got three mothers in the studio. Did I say that right?
You did. Way to go, Bill. We're off to a good start.
And we have Pastor Rich Sherber with us tonight from Teen Challenge, the director over there.
The head guy.
The head guy. We went right to the top.
We did. We did tonight.
Yep. And we've got three very beautiful, smiling women that are going to tell their stories. So I'm looking forward to tonight. So less of us and more of them.
That's good. Did you have a good Mother's Day with your mom, Bill?
I did. I want to say happy Mother's Day to you, Mom. I know you're listening. And, I mean, what do you say to a woman who gives you life? What can you say?
Thanks.
See? I'm speechless.
Anyway. Am I here for you, Billy, or what?
No, you are. Thanks, Mom. Anyway. So here we go, George. You know, the other day I asked you if you had more you were complaining about or more you were looking forward to, and you said to me, I'm looking forward to complaining more.
That sounds like something I would say. Was that early in the day, Bill?
It was. It was. And that was, again, how much you annoy me.
Thank you. Well, there's a lot to be said for consistency, and I try hard.
And tonight we have nothing to complain about and only things to look forward to.
Well, we got a great show tonight, Bill. And we talk every week about addiction and our problems, our sin problems.
Speaking of mothers.
Are all idolatry.
A lady in Texas gave birth to a 15-pound, 2-ounce baby last week. I mean, I want to say to you, ladies, after you hear 15 pounds, do the 2 ounces really matter?
They're
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yep.
Seriously, does it really matter? Tonight's going to be one of those programs, though, that you are going to want to share with friends. And if you want to do so, tonight's show can be reproduced and redistributed without the permission of Major League Baseball. All you have to do is go on our website to myfaithradio.com. You can go to the webpage, and I promise you, you're going to want to share tonight's episode with friends.
Well, we're going to have all the information about Teen Challenge on there too, Bill. And that'll be important, I think, for people out there that are searching and have lost hope. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight with mothers as the theme.
Excellent. And you know, George, God allows negative things in our lives, doesn't he? And a lot of times things happen to us, but I would say for the most part, things happen for us. Because God's all about doing work in our lives. And if we don't play the victim card and say, well, things happen to me, but we say things are happening for me, I think we can look at life in a much different way.
Well, we need to be obedient. We don't have to figure it out. We just need to be obedient. And there's a big difference. We don't have to figure out what God's plan for us is. We have to realize where to fit into his plan.
Okay. Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah. So I am relaxed. I'm ready to go. Are you, George?
I'm ready to go, Bill.
Okay. You know, I just have to say one other thing. I was a victim of identity theft this week. You know, it's a very scary thing with all the things on the internet and everything. My identity was stolen. So that was scary. But they returned it after 10 minutes because they couldn't stand pretending to be me either.
Okay.
Yeah. So
took 10 minutes.
Boom. Back it came. Yeah. 10 minutes it came back.
Okay.
Yeah. But we're going to have a lot of fun tonight because we've got some great stories that are going to be told. And, George, would you do the honors and introduce some of our special guests? Start with the first. Go ahead.
Do you want me to go ahead?
Begin.
Okay. Pastor Rich is here from Teen Challenge, and we are so grateful you are here tonight.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You want to tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Teen Challenge and what you're doing today?
Okay. I've been involved with Teen Challenge, George, for the last 20 years. I came out of addiction lifestyle myself. Back in the 70s, I was a hippie and a drug dealer, and I had 5 years of drug addiction. Three of the years, it was literally on a daily basis, and got my life straightened out and got involved in ministry. I pastored for years, went to college, went to graduate school, and then met my wife, and we decided to be missionaries over in Africa. We really felt that that was our call. We spent, I think it was a total of about 6 years with foreign missions assignment. And I worked in South Africa, working inside the black townships during the apartheid period. I was there from appointment, I think, from 1983 to about 1990. And we're back on furlough in 1990, and were asked, one day I was traveling through the Midwest here to stop in and visit a pastor, and he said, hey, I'm going to take you out for breakfast tomorrow morning. And so I showed up the next morning, and there were seven pastors in a room, and I asked him, he said, bring your wife with. So it was 7:30 in the morning, and when I came in, I heard them talking about me a little bit, and it was a little storefront church in South Minneapolis. And I poked my head around the corner. I said, I'm here. And they said, well, come here before we take you out for breakfast. He said, I want to talk to you. And they brought me a table with these seven pastors, and they said, have you ever heard about Teen Challenge? And I said, I know the story of David Wilkerson, the story of the cross and the switchblade, but I don't know too much about it. And they said, before we talk too much more, we want you to read this. And they threw down a front page of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and they pointed to an article of a story of a pastor who was being sued for sexual misconduct. And it was about two women who were suing this pastor. When I was done reading it, they said, that's our Teen Challenge director. And they said, not only are two women, but two other women have joined on the lawsuit. Now looks like there'll be four women suing the ministry. And I said, well, whatever happened, I know you had a house in St. Paul. I think we helped before we went to Africa. I think the church we were involved with bought them a washer and dryer. And he said, well, the washer and dryer is gone. The whole ministry in St. Paul has closed up. All the money from the sale of the house is gone. They said, we're $20,000 in debt. And I said, do you have anything? And the guy thought for a minute, and he said, well, we own a Kirby vacuum cleaner. And back then, if you owned a Kirby vacuum cleaner, at least, you know, that was worth a couple hundred bucks. And so I said, well, what does this have to do with me and my wife? And why do you want to talk to us? And everybody seemed to perk up around the table, and they said, well, we've been praying about a rich. We really feel like you're supposed to be our next director. And my first question was, can you pay a salary? And they said, no. And I said, well, what an honor. I said, you're making the front page of the newspaper. You're going to be sued potentially $500,000 here. And they had told me they didn't think they had proper insurance. I said, you have no assets other than a Kirby vacuum cleaner, and you're $20,000 in debt. I said, this is a joke. You need to close this thing down. That was 20 plus years ago. And everybody started laughing, and I did too, except the guy, one of the guys who had called me the night before. And the more we get into laugh, the angrier got. And finally he said, listen, we've been involved in answering the phones for Teen Challenge since this guy had the moral failure. And he said, that phone never stops ringing with hurting people. He said, Rich, that's our ministry. We need a Teen Challenge. You're in Minnesota. And I said, well, I'll pray about it. And I left that afternoon, or that morning. We never did go to breakfast, and ended up, sort of forgot about it in the evening time. We always pray, me and my wife, before we go to bed. And that night we prayed that God would show us if there was anything with Teen Challenge, and pray for our ministry and get us back to Africa and raise our budget. And I went to sleep, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened by my wife, who was rolling over in bed. She had been awake, she woke me up, and I said, Lynette, what's wrong? And my wife is a real prayer warrior, and God has really gifted her in that whole area of intercession. And she said, Rich, I haven't slept one wink all night. I've just been praying. She said, I really feel like God's calling us to come off the mission field and start Teen Challenge. And I said, Lynette, they can't pay me a salary. Where are we going to live? And she said, I'll get a job teaching and we'll make it. And I started with an old condemned house in South Minneapolis. That was 20 years ago. I got for a dollar. I renovated pretty much myself. That was our first Teen Challenge. Today we have, nine different campuses throughout the state. We have over 500 residents in the program and over 200 plus staff. And it's come a long ways, but to God be the glory.
That's a great story. Why do you think it's been so successful, Rich?
I don't know. It sure is. It hasn't been me. I'll tell you, not saying that. I think God's, I say all the time, I'm as dependent on God as any resident in Teen Challenge. I don't know. I mean, I started, the first year was like hell. We started with an old condemned house. It was the worst experience of my life trying to get this thing open. It was the worst spiritual experience I've ever had. And it was so hard. I threw up the towel many times and told God I was going to quit. There were times I worked long hours by myself, and at the last minute, literally, it'd take an hour to tell the whole story. God came on the scene, and we ended up, we had like $70,000 worth of donations came for this house in a couple week time. And prior to this, the previous maybe 6 or 7 months, there was nothing. I was taking pallets, you know, a wooden pallet, and tearing apart to get wood to basically put on the floor. And it was a condemned house. We had to bring it to brand new code construction. And God, I think some of the blessings that we've seen at Teen Challenge, you know, when you have that tenacity and sort of don't give up kind of attitude, that's what we've had at Teen Challenge. And we have our share of trials, and it's not an easy ministry like any of them, but God has just been faithful.
I've been in the industry myself for about 17 years, and I feel the reason Teen Challenge is successful is because of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And when you get, Bill, when you get to what the real answer is to the problem, it's Jesus. And we talk about recovery on this show, but recovery without Jesus Christ is not recovery. And the fruits of your ministry have been fabulous. We have three people with you here tonight. They're going to, you know, share their testimony in that and in your life.
Yeah.
What a lot of fruit from somebody who was an addict and hopeless, and all of a sudden you're running a treatment center that had nothing when you started, and we get to see the great miracle that Jesus has in everybody's life. What a great story.
Yeah. You know what I appreciate too, George, about Teen Challenge, and I think it's been sort of the vision from the beginning, that whole focus on discipleship and really getting in the Word, and we run two different programs. We have a shorter licensed, it's a non-Christian program where people can voluntarily attend chapels and other Christian program, but our one-year program, there's a strict Christian emphasis, and that
right.
one-year program, boy, you really get solid in your relationship with the Lord after that length of time.
My guess is, too, that a lot of people that are involved in the traditional 12-step program are going to see the smiling faces of people that have accepted Christ into their life and see, I want what they have. What we look at is we don't want to stop behaviors. We want to start a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And you guys do that so well.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think, too, is you don't come into a one-year residential program unless you have a pretty serious addiction. And for a lot of our people, this is the difference of life and death for them. And they come in so desperate. I think that's a key to this, too.
Bill, if somebody's listening out there tonight that has a problem and has lost hope, what this program is about is that there is hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in nothing else. And you're right, if you've given up on yourself, that's a good, healthy thing, because we can't do it. We don't want to do it. But there is one who can do it. And if we call on him, he comes through.
Yeah.
Rich, when you said earlier in the show, you were talking about the incredible difficulties you were facing in the beginning. And again, I thought some of this stuff was happening for you, not to you, because through affliction, boy, did you grow as a believer, and your faith has grown, and look where you are at today as a result of your faithfulness, God's faithfulness.
Yeah. We've seen so many miracles, as all of that you guys have seen too, but every testimony we have, it's always been a struggle first, and then God showing up, and that's what our testimony
is. We know about miracles. Every week when we're let into this building, we're going, it's another miracle.
Yeah. Wait, somebody has to let us in.
Well, I'm just saying,
still a
the fact they let us in, it's a miracle.
I think it is, yeah.
Well, that is an absolutely fascinating story. And I think we're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we're going to hear some of the guests that we have in the studio
short
with us tonight. You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill Ardell and George Fraser. We'll be back in just a second. This is Faith Radio. Welcome back to Real Recovery. Bill Ardell with George Fraser. We're so delighted you've joined us tonight. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I know this can be a very difficult time if you are a mother that is not connected to their children. Maybe you're think of some of the mothers who are incarcerated tonight, and that's a tough one.
A lot of loss, a lot of sadness out there, Bill, but we're going to talk about hope. Hope tonight in Jesus Christ.
Okay. George, we've got three... guests in studio tonight.
We do.
And and they are all involved in Teen Challenge. And our first guest tonight, Corrine, she's got a little testimony that she is going to share with our audience.
Let's get to that, Bill.
So, Corrine, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And you've already prepared something you'd like to share?
Well, yes. I came to Teen Challenge about 5.5 months ago. I came from an intensive care unit, as a matter of fact. I relapsed on alcohol. And when I was coming off the alcohol, I went into withdrawal seizures. And I did not come out of them. I was taken by ambulance to a hospital, put into intensive care. And it was at the point where my family was asked, what would you like us to do should her heart stop? And that frightened my family big time. My daughter is also a nurse. I'm a nurse. I put 35 years into the medical field. And I've had a lot of instances through working ER, intensive cares, hospice, and chemo, where I've always had a relationship with God, but being a nurse, being a science background, I was angry at him a lot for things that I had to witness, things I had to, I had no control over. But the intensive has taken care of me, interestingly enough, mentioned Teen Challenge to my husband and my family. They called Minneapolis and they had an opening and I was brought to Teen Challenge and I've been here 5.5 months and I am so grateful. Teen Challenge is my 11th treatment. I'm not proud of that, but Teen Challenge will be my last. And it is through the grace of God. Like I said, I've always known God, but Teen Challenge really brings him home and it's so exciting for me. I have never shared my age, but I am 58 years old, soon to be 59, and so I'm old enough to know better, but addiction is a crazy thing. It gets everybody. And when I was asked to come tonight, I said the same thing I say when I'm asked to give a testimony in church. I don't really have one because I've been blessed all my life. I listen to these kids with their testimonies of abuse and neglect and being thrown out of homes, and I stand up in front in the choir, and the tears roll. And I said, I don't have a testimony like that. And they said, but you'd be surprised. There are people that are out there right now that have a background like you, that have a profession like you, that need to hear what you have to say. And when I was brought to Teen Challenge, my family was, it was a tough deal. My daughter, out of fright, she's also a nurse, as I mentioned. It took 3 months. I never heard from my kids at all. I have a son and a daughter and 4 beautiful grandchildren, and it looked like that part of my life was over. But they love me. They started coming around. And I happened to write a letter to my daughter where God worked in my life in such an incredible way at Teen Challenge because I was working on forgiveness. We do contracts at Teen Challenge. It's a lot of hard work. We really delve inside. We have counseling. And we have people to turn to with any question, any self-doubt, any hurt, any tear at any time. And it's just, God spared my life for something. And so when I was asked to do this, my daughter wrote me a letter. I wrote her a letter. I never really asked her for her forgiveness. I thought it wasn't time yet, and maybe she wasn't ready. But I just wrote her a letter talking about how I was working on having to forgive myself. And I think for those of you out there listening, you will probably agree, whether you're at a point where I'm at or not, but self-forgiveness is the hardest thing because we have done it to ourselves. And through lots of times it's through no fault of our own, but there is hope and there's always hope with God and people like Teen Challenge. And she wrote me a letter and I just want to read a little paragraph of what she wrote about forgiveness because I think it's going to touch especially a lot of you mothers out there tonight. If you're in the same position I'm in, just remember there's hope and I'll share this with you. She said, you mentioned in your letter about working on self-forgiveness. I really hope that you are able to do that. Forgive yourself. That is a continuous thing, Mom, because we are all human and we will all continue to make mistakes. I don't know what you're feeling inside or what you feel bad for, but from my standpoint, even though the past 10 years or so have been pretty rocky, you were a good mom. When I was growing up, you may have made mistakes, but I always felt loved and I felt important. You had grown to be my best friend as well. Please don't forget the good you have done in your life, all the people you have helped. You are too hard on yourself. Leave the past where it belongs, in the past, and work toward the future. You have so much to live for and so much more to give in this life. You just need to find your place again and realize alcohol, as you said, is the devil. I miss you so much. We all miss you. There is not a day that goes by that I don't think of you. I've already lost so many people in my life. I can't lose you, too. I will write again real soon. Take good care of yourself. Love always, Megan. And then she wrote, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. That's a quote by Gandhi. And then she closes it with, forgive your mom. Forgive yourself, Mom, please. It is time, and I love you. So we all have hope. My whole family now has hope, and this is going to work. And I'm really honored to be here, and I thank you.
That was great. How did it feel when you got that letter?
Well, it felt heavy, and yet it felt uplifting. And I thanked God. I thanked God. My little 14-year-old granddaughter was just confirmed. I missed it, but the whole family was there, and they prayed for me, including my 14-year-old granddaughter. And that meant a lot. My husband, who is a very spiritual man, he just said, Corrine, just think of the lives you're touching and you're not even aware of it. You know, the path that you're making for these people to follow in. And my husband, he's an incredible man. We've been together forever. But when he speaks, he tells the people he's speaking to, he's so incredibly grateful for the life that God showed him through the person that he met and married. Because even though he's not grateful for my addiction and what, you know, the steps it's taken our family through, he said he is so incredibly grateful because through my addiction and through his learning to understand my addiction and where we're at each step of our lives, he said that his life has taken a whole different path because he has had the honor of meeting the most incredible people on the face of this earth through AA, through NA, through Al-Anon, through just people that need people, you know, and need God in their lives.
One of the things, Bill, that we get to see on this program is that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, what we didn't want to do for ourselves, what we didn't think was possible. And on a weekly basis, we get to see right in front of us, and I hope our listeners get to hear the transforming power of Jesus Christ when everything is lost, when there is no hope. And then we get to hear stories like this, and it gets better and better and better. And you have impacted a lot of people. You impacted me a lot listening to that. And we never want to lose hope, do we, Billy?
No, we sure don't. And that was a beautiful story and a beautiful letter that your daughter wrote and very touching. And those are such healing words. And, you know, the self-forgiveness is one of the toughest ones, isn't it? Yeah, and it's, you know, you have to choose to be hurt. You know, I can hurt you, George, but you're the one that decides whether or not you're going to be hurt.
It's Bill, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm trying to be, I'm trying to make a point.
He went right by me, as they usually do. I'm sure it was a good point, though.
Yeah. You know, the market research has shown that you should be not so boring.
Well, sometimes that research is flawed, Bill, as you know.
Not in this case.
I love the stories of hope and redemption in the family because we're all part of God's family. And people get to hear this. And I know, Corrine, there's people out there tonight that, like a lot of us, have given up hope. Don't. That's the enemy talking to you that this time you really did it, this time it's over. We have the transforming power of the creator of the universe, and he loves us very much, doesn't he?
I just want to share, too, Corrine shared, she's been through 11 treatment programs, and you can't beat this with these 28-day programs. With the level of addict we see walking through the door of Teen Challenge, it's just revolving doors. Unless they have a strong aftercare program, jeepers, you're not even sober in 4 weeks, level of inebriation you were at. We want people to know out there that Teen Challenge is an option if they need help. The unique thing, of the 500 residents in the program, I think 95% of them or less do not pay one penny out of pocket to be there. And so we want to be a resource for people. If you know people that are in serious addiction, there's a place they can go.
We'll put all that information up on the website.
Yeah.
And if you have a number you can give out as well tonight, we'd love to hear that number as well. So we're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we're going to hear more stories. You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill Arnold and George Fraser on Faith Radio. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Recovery. We're glad you've joined us tonight. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. What a great job. What a privilege it is to be a mom. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being moms, bringing us into this world, teaching us what's right. George, Corrine gave us a fantastic story, and Rich from Teen Challenge is really painting a wonderful picture of what goes on at Teen Challenge. It's more than behavior modification, isn't it?
It is a great place. Bill, I think what's real important to get across here is we can go to a cognitive behavioral therapy, and I can change my thinking, I can change my behavior. But the only one who can change our heart is Jesus Christ. And that's important. And there's a lot of great secular treatment centers. I've worked at a few of them. They do great work, and we can stop a behavior and maybe get us in touch with a higher power. But we have the highest power, and it's Jesus Christ. And if you're listening tonight, he has a plan for your life that is so much better than anything you can imagine. He came to give us life and give it to us abundantly. And we're hearing that tonight. And there's restoration, there's redemption, but it only comes through Jesus Christ.
And there's big smiles on the faces. And one thing we've always said is your recovery has to be as much fun, if not more fun, than you're using.
I know a guy who's got a trademark on that.
Is that you?
Yeah, that would be me.
Why not? I'm just saying.
But I think it's true. And I think he did come to give us life and give it to it abundantly. And we were looking to party, to escape, and to make things better. And it's a scheme of the devil to get us to die spiritually and physically. And it works. But we have one that overcomes that, and he will do it. So, Bill, I'm real excited about what we just heard. I can't wait to hear some more.
I know we've got Jill in the studio with us as well, and Jill is at Teen Challenge currently, and she is in recovery, and she's a mother.
I am.
So welcome to the program. We're so delighted you're here.
Hi. Hi.
You've got a tough act to follow. Corrine was pretty good, wasn't she?
Corrine is amazing.
I saw you tearing up when she was speaking.
I was.
Yeah. And your story, tell us about your story.
Mine is different than Corrine's. I grew up in Minnesota here in a small town, out in the woods on a lake because I love the country. I'm 36. I grew up to a really nice Christian family, oldest of five. So I kind of showed all the other kids how to fish and hunt and ride bikes. And I went to a private school, Baptist school, so it was kind of like growing up very, very, very strict. We had to wear dresses below our knees. We were Christians, so being in a private Baptist school, we were kind of, we weren't as good as the Baptists, so I kind of got a label that we were not as good as the Baptists, so kind of self-conscious growing up. And so I kind of got that icky feeling growing up. So that's how I kind of started feeling not as good growing up. So I asked my parents early on if I could go to public school. And they said, yeah, you can go into public school. In 10th grade, I went to public school, and I started dabbling in drugs. I got into the wrong crowd. It started with marijuana, and when I got into marijuana, I just went downhill really fast. 19, I left home a virgin, and I came back pregnant. And then I had my son, who is now 17, I had another child at 21, and she had cystic fibrosis, and I was a single mom, and it was a really hard life. I gave her up for adoption, and I wanted to self-destruct, I did. That's when I started my 13 years of meth addiction. And in that 13 years of meth addiction, I met my husband and had two more children. And And in that 13 years, my husband got on his knees in a jail cell and asked God for help. And he got accepted to Teen Challenge. And when he got accepted to Teen Challenge, I saw such a difference in my husband's life because of God that I came to Teen Challenge. And now that God is the authority in our lives, we... Hold on a second, I have to get a drink. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. Now that God is the authority of our life, you have no idea how happy we are. We are rebuilding a marriage. We are falling in love all over again. Our children are happy. We just had our first family counseling appointment. We're happy. We are living in God's design that a family is supposed to be. So, yeah.
And that's great. What about that empty feeling, that kind of icky feeling that we have that you were talking about? How's that doing?
That's no longer there.
Okay.
That ended about 2 weeks after I started Teen Challenge. I started all that emptiness that I had that I buried for those, 13 years.
Sure.
Just came up and exited out when God came in.
A lot of smiling faces in here tonight, Bill, and we're hearing some stories that are pretty tough and pretty sad, and we go through some really painful things, and people die. We've been to a lot of funerals, mm-hmm. But the victory's sweet, isn't it?
It is. It's awesome. I mean, God is seriously in my life. He comes and talks to me all the time, and it's amazing. He hugs me all the time, and he just embraces me, and I talk to him.
You saw what your husband had, and you wanted that.
I did.
Okay. And now my guess is, and I just mentioned tonight, you want to share this with other people
the time. I do all the time.
You know what's so neat, George, is that all three of the ladies that are here tonight, we specifically brought mothers, mm-hmm. and Jill especially, God has done such a miracle in your family before you came in. Your children were going down a negative road, and God has just turned your whole family around.
He has.
So precious to see. What special Mother's Day it is today.
It is. It's amazing.
Because of Jesus.
A lot of restoration in here tonight, Bill.
I'm very speechless. This is a very...
Doesn't happen very often.
No, it's a very moving story.
It's great to see the joy that you have, and that can only come from the Lord.
It's amazing. I thank him. Meth
addictions are really horrendous.
It was pretty bad. I hid it for a lot of years, and it was terrible because it was destroying me every day. I cried underneath. It was empty. All I can say is I was living an empty life. It wasn't fun.
Mm. And you probably have dear friends on either side of you tonight, don't you?
I do. I love these ladies.
I know you do. I can tell.
I do. I genuinely love these ladies.
I can tell. It's really
sweet.
And I
love Pastor Rich. He's an amazing guy.
Well, what's really neat with Jill, too, is we've seen such leadership. She's really risen up in the ranks. God has a real neat, exciting call for your life, Jill.
We're excited about that. Yeah.
Well, Rich, one of the things we see that's in common is people who get a relationship with Jesus and get into recovery, they want to share it. And we come into this, like your story, you come into it, you want to get clean, you want to get feeling better, you want to get out in trouble, and God says, no, wait, there's more. I've got a plan for the rest of your life, and you get to work for me now. So what a huge miracle that is, and hearing the stories as we go around, starting with you, Rich, that's what happened. It's cool.
Well, you know what's so neat? I don't know the exact number, but it's probably 60% for sure of those who are staff who are working with our residents are former graduates of the program. And the residents, I always say, they make the best staff because they've been there, done that. And that's so neat to see that.
Well, yeah, my husband is on staff now, too.
That is so great.
Jill, what about the relationship with your mother?
My mom, you know what? My mom almost died last summer from a bee sting, and she cried out to God, and she asked God, why did God bring her back? And God told her so that she can love on those grandkids. And then she didn't understand why, and she was putting the kids to bed like 2 months ago, and God said, so that you could love on those grandkids. And she figured it out. It's because God has it in his plans that I was supposed to come to Teen Challenge and Mike was supposed to come to Teen Challenge, because it was in his plan that I was supposed to be here.
Wow.
So she said that it was in her plan to love those grandkids and take care of them so Mike and I could be together and we could take the kids all at the same time so we could both be here.
And it was almost a bee sting that took her down, huh?
Well, she's allergic to bees.
Okay. Because yeah. I bought George three beehives for his backyard this summer.
Well, honey's good for you. It keeps your immune system strong.
See?
I love you too, Billy. I know you do.
Well, that's a really, really lovely story. And thank you for sharing it.
Thanks for
George,
having me.
George, I love, this is why we do Real Recovery. It's real stories of real people, real transformation, and it's the power of Christ in their life that's making all the difference. You can't sit there with your fingers crossed trying harder to not be involved in drugs and alcohol and addiction.
Well, and even if you aren't and you're out there listening, you know somebody that's struggling with it, what a great ministry to support Teen Challenge. I was at an event where you brought the choir, and boy, I was a bucket. People are singing about Jesus that were doing drugs a few months before because it's real, it works. There's a huge problem out there. I know two guys, Rich, that have hanged themselves the last 6 months that I worked with, and too painful for me to go to one of the funerals, just couldn't do it. But we see more restoration than we do loss, and the opportunities out there. But if you're listening tonight and you have a problem with drugs and alcohol, you need to make a decision to do something about it, and there is help.
There is.
And the fact that you want to do something about it, I believe, is the first miracle that comes from God, because a dead man does not know he's dead in his sins. Fair? And act on it and make a phone call. We'll be up on the website. You can take action right now.
Yep. We're going to take a short break. We have one more testimony to hear tonight. When we come back, we're going to hear from Michelle. You're listening to Real Recovery on Faith Radio. We'll be back in a minute. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Recovery. Happy Mother's Day. We're so glad you've joined us. Hello, Mom. I know she's listening. Happy Mother's Day, George. Another award-winning episode is underway. We're in our last segment.
Went by quick. Let's get
real
to
fast.
It.
Yep, let's not waste any more time. Please introduce our last guest, Michelle.
I will introduce our last guest, Michelle. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you.
What brings you to us?
Oh, George, good question.
Isn't that kind of practice?
Seriously, that is painful. Let me start over.
Okay, we'll roll that
Welcome back to the show, Real Recovery. Hi, Michelle, how are you?
I'm well, thank
Welcome
you.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
We would love to hear some of your story. See, that's how a pro does it, George.
I like what brought you to us.
No, that's painful.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds like you walk into some store. Hey, what brought you to us?
Clear on pump six. Go ahead. You'll never get started.
I don't know. A history of alcoholism, I suppose. Mine was very short-lived. I grew up in a very God-fearing household. I was raised in a very traditional, very strict Hispanic Catholic family. I attended parochial school, catechism, communion, confession, mass multiple times a week. And I was truly raised to fear God. He was going to get me. He was an angry God. The first time that I consciously chose to drink was when I was 16. I went out with my friends and came home after curfew and had been drinking and walked through the front door, and my father was standing there and he backhanded me. And I didn't question it because I knew that I had disrespected my father and that's how he chose to punish me. But what got me worse that night was the fact that if my earthly father chose to punish me in that fashion, I could not imagine how my father in heaven was feeling about me that night. And I took a vow to never, ever drink like that again. And I didn't. I went on to college, on to graduate school, marriage, the birth of three children, graduate school, the adoption of two more, and did not consume alcohol. But later on in life, through a series of very unforeseen, life-altering incidents in my life, I found my way back to alcohol. And as the incidents increased in size, an unforeseen divorce, the loss of two children, the rapid onset of a disease and death of my mother, I found my way back to alcohol, and I broke that vow to God. And I had never even so much as had a traffic ticket, but now had two DWIs, had been in and out of jail for violating probation, had been to five previous secular treatments, and could not function. I just could not stop drinking. I was ashamed. I was guilt-ridden, and never once did I ask God for help. I thought if I just hid in bed with the covers over my head, God could not see the person that I had become. My children were ashamed of me. They didn't know what to do with me. They didn't know how to interact with me any longer. And I remember watching the brief program from Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, and it was about freedom and how Teen Challenge had changed this man's life and given him his freedom back. And I remember thinking that night, I wonder if they could help me, because no one else had been able to. I couldn't help myself. And the very next day, as I was out running errands, I ran into a lifelong friend, a lifetime friend that I hadn't seen in a number of years. And as we were catching up, she shared with me that she was now an employee of Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. And I just looked at her and told her about my struggle. And she said, Michelle, I know God put you on my heart about 3 years ago, and I've known since then. And I asked her, do you think that Teen Challenge could help me? And she says, yes, it can, because God told me that it could. And I left the office that I was in and immediately went over to admissions to Teen Challenge. And it took about 2 weeks to complete the paperwork, but I could not hope for anything more. When I entered the program, I initially started the short-term program. And I remember the first week walking in and making a bargain. Okay, God, if you're there and you're going to forgive me and you're here to help me, you need to show me. You need to make sure that I hear you in some fashion, or this is just not going to work and I'm leaving. My son, that had not spoken to me in about 2 years, 3 days later called and left a message for me, asking me to call him. And he says, Mom, I've been so worried about you, and I've been thinking about you. And these children that wanted nothing to do with me participate in counseling with me weekly. They attend church with me when I'm in town. They see me every visiting day. And last Mother's Day, didn't even know where I was. And this Mother's Day, were very disappointed that they weren't going to see me because I was going to be here. And I could not have imagined a transformation in my life. The feeling that I have inside, I never even had before I began drinking. I knew that my heart was breaking, but I never knew that I was going to have to let those pieces fall in order for God to give them back. And every day my life is so much stronger and so much better. And though I'm crying now, I'm happy. I am so unbelievably happy inside, and I could not imagine going on another day feeling the way that I did, nor can I imagine going on another day from this point forward without the grace of God, the love of Jesus, the programs for Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. The forgiveness that I have been able to offer myself has been amazing, and I never, ever want to go back to feeling or to living that life that I did, that I had.
Yeah, we call Rich, and we said, Rich, can you bring over some interesting guests? And this is what he brings.
Last time we have Rich.
Last time we have Rich. Yeah. Okay, awkward pause.
No, what can you say? I think we need to listen to what God has done in people's lives, and it is possible. It doesn't matter who you are. You haven't done it this time, and it's not going to work. If you come to Jesus, you get help, and it happens immediately. You feel different right away, don't you?
All three ladies, what's come to me is four-letter word, H-O-P-E, hope. We're just stuck in our addiction before we find release with Christ, and we can't get out. And we believe that we're going to live like this. And maybe there's someone, George, that's listening right now that's just Christians. It's in the church, too. Christians stuck in their addiction and can't get out.
There's always some truth to every lie. And I believe the truth in that lie is, you can't get out of it by yourself. You need the Lord. And I cut you off there, so I think every day we get to see that people, if they reach out to Jesus and are obedient. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. That's the magic. This just isn't a magic prayer, and all of a sudden, hocus pocus, we're good to go. There's a program we work, and it's about being obedient. How is your prayer life now?
My prayer life is outstanding. It's amazing that with every prayer, it is answered. I never knew that I would actually be able to be guided by God, what it meant to hear God speak to me, what it meant to feel Him in my life. And each day I wake up, and it's almost like that is the first feeling that I have. That is the first thought that is in my head. How can I please God today? Because God has blessed me beyond human words.
Like that too, Bill.
That's inspiring, you know, because we hear from God as well. George and I say every week, God, who do you want on the program? And He says, well, not you guys. And for some reason, that is very hurtful. But, you know, we have toughened up.
I don't have anything else to do on Sunday. I don't know about you, Billy, but...
And one of our favorite verses, or one of mine, is Philippians 3:10, that it says, I want to know Christ and know the power of His resurrection. And to me, I'm seeing the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in all of their lives. These stories, that's what the power of the resurrection looks like.
Yeah. You know why Teen Challenge and other Christian recovery programs work is because God is real. This higher power, the thing, and you go through treatment and they say, put your faith in a higher power. We don't care if it's a stone. We don't add in. It could be anything, a tree. There's nothing. There's no life in that. And it's absurdity. But Jesus Christ is real. He is changing lives. We have stories like this by the hundreds. And outside of Jesus, it don't work, like you said. It doesn't work.
Absolutely. And one of the other things that we started with Corrine about forgiveness, the forgiveness can come from nobody else than Jesus. And I don't want to just get out of trouble. I don't want to just stop a behavior. I want to get forgiveness, redemption, sanctification, and have eternal life with Jesus. Now, my mom died 36 years ago. And I know I get to see her again. And at the time when she died, I wasn't walking with the Lord. And I want everybody to experience the transformation and the hope that comes with that, that it is okay. And He did do the work. And if we're obedient, we get all the blessings.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. And we're just so excited to be on the air here with you guys. And we just want to stress for listeners that are out there, if you know somebody that's chronic in their addiction, and I think we all do, we know somebody who's been, for you, it was 11 treatment, for Michelle, 5 or 6 treatment programs. Even as Christians, we give up hope. We think there's no hope, but there is hope. And number one, Christ-centered programs are a key. Number two, longer programs seem to be a key for the people we see walking through the doors of Teen Challenge. You can't expect this to happen overnight. It takes months and months to get, maybe you want to address that. I mean, you're just feeling better now, Michelle. It took several months, didn't it, before you were thinking properly and could articulate like you do now?
It did. It took me a while to conform and to understand myself, let alone trying to understand to go to God for a better sense of self. That I live for God's will, not my will. And I never fully understood that. I never accepted that God had plans for me, that he has a purpose for my life, that I have hope and a future with him, not with me.
Well, we want people to know, if they're listening, that they can either go to the web.
What is the web?
It's MNTC, like Minnesota Teen Challenge, MNTC.org, or they can call us at 612-FREEDOM, and we'd be happy to help. Again, we have we actually have three different programs. We have a 28-day program. We have then the one-year program, and then we have an outpatient program as well. And so we'd love to help if anybody.
We'll get that on the web. And it's been really a remarkable hour. Your testimonies have been so meaningful. It's been so fun to listen to them. You know, I can't imagine what you've been through, but your testimonies of God's power in your life is just remarkable. So thank you for very much for being here. And God bless your children and your kids who can't be with their mom tonight, but you were here instead.
Thank you.
That means a lot. Rich, thank you so much. George, so much. Nice to see you again.
612-FREEDOM, Bill.
Hopefully I'll see you next week. And to all the mothers, again, happy Mother's Day. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, God willing. Good night, everybody. God bless.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.